Podcasts are an independent way for podcasters like me to bring a local voice to your ears. At the Spent the Rent podcast, we strive to raise awareness of topics that affect the often underrepresented. Our title sponsor, Oregon Cashflow Pro, offers free money management advice that can help you take control of your finances. At OregonCashflowPro.com, you will find videos to guide you towards your goal of financial freedom. For more info, there will be a link in the show notes. The following podcast is available on all major streaming sites, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. You can now listen to all previous episodes, donate to the podcast, and buy shirts directly from the Spent the Rent podcast at our newly designed official website, strpod.com.
Are we doing this again?
Yep.
Okay.
You are listening to the Spent the Rent podcast, and now, here's your host, Patty Rose.
Hello, I am Patty Rose. Welcome to the Spent the Rent podcast. These episodes I like to call Two Pats in a Pod, and this is volume 6. Patrick Miller, welcome to the show.
It's actually 6.3.
6.3.
You've tried to start it three times.
Well, we're having some technical difficulties today. I don't know what the heck is going on.
I've brought the mojo into the room.
Man. Yeah.
I turned 70 and all my tech stopped working. So there you go.
Right. So Patrick Miller is a longtime friend of the show. Cranky old man, cranky old guy. Tell me a little bit about that real quick.
It goes way back to like 2002 with all kinds of incarnations. And I was, doing all kinds of stuff with that. It still sits around, but I just,
so it's a blog, and you'll kind of put out your rants.
It's a blog. It's a persona. It is who I've become.
That's right.
I've just morphed into the cranky old guy.
That's right. So I wanted to have you on because we've become really good friends behind the scenes. I've been cutting your hair now for like almost, 15 years.
Yeah.
And look at that. And I think we have a really good rapport. And I think, we have a lot to talk about. We like to talk about sports. We like to talk about politics. We like to talk about pop culture and how much we are old and don't understand it. I'm 40 and I already feel old.
One of us is older. Yeah. I'm 70 now, dude.
That's wild.
But I'm way younger than you.
I was giving you 2 years because I was telling my friends, in the shop today that I was going to have you on. And I was like, he's 68. So it's really cool. So I guess you're closer to gone, but than I thought.
I'm way closer to gone. I like the name. That should be the name of a song.
Closer to gone.
Yeah.
Oof. That's dark.
That is dark.
So, like I said, today we're going to talk a little bit about politics, both national and local. We're going to talk about just some random stuff, but I wanted to talk a little bit about football because we're closing, the end of the college football season.
It's the season that won't quit.
I know.
It's been the news cycle for the last 48 hours, period.
Well, now there's the coach talk, and there's news now about not having news. That's the new thing, so... Dan Lanning, the news on Dan Lanning is nothing is happening.
Yeah, but that was pretty dicey. I mean, my daughters are hardcore Duck fans, or at least three of the five. And it was back and forth. People were freaking out.
Yeah.
I mean, really freaking out. And I actually made a statement. I could show it to you. I said, if Alabama steals Lanning, I'm not going to be a Duck fan for at least 2 years. I'm not going to watch a game. I'm done.
I knew it wouldn't happen, but I was walking to my car after work yesterday, I believe, mm-hmm. and I ran into Arlen, who runs the Duck store, and he was like, I think he might have been kidding, but he's like, we're already hitting the presses with the grass actually is greener in Eugene
T-shirts.
Yeah. So look out for that at the Duck store. But I mean, what Dan Lanning did by just reassuring the fans, I'm staying, we're concrete, we're stable. There's changes because we're moving to the Big Ten. That's the big change.
Yeah, there's two things that became evident to me. First of all, local news is terrible because they were reporting that he was already in Tuscaloosa and the whole thing. And then Lanning, actually, when he posted something, and before he posted the famous one, he posted a picture of him in his kitchen with a GPS identifier of where he was, which I thought was brilliant.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was just like, come on, guys.
I want to say that there is some good local sports writers. There's one outlet that that made that announcement. And, it wasn't, because I don't want to get sued. So it wasn't KEZI.
So
it's the other two.
Well, there's more. So I'm just, yeah, you know.
The ones that are linked.
Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, no, but now that we saw two teams, the big change for us moving forward for the Ducks is we're moving to the Big Ten. Yeah. So we're now living in the Midwest, which is weird because the ocean is still where it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. But anyway, Michigan and Washington both are now Big Ten teams. Michigan has been for a long time. Washington is now joining us in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. My question about the championship game is, why do cheaters always win?
You could, you know what? You could take all the headlines from this weekend, because the fact is you've got Belichick, cheater. You've got
this is a pro Michigan. Boston show, first of all, so be careful how far you go with that.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's where I go with this. There's a lot of cheaters out there. Pete Carroll gets fired. He's a big cheater. He's one of the first big cheaters.
Yeah.
He could actually be hired by some other school who needs another cheater, as far as I'm concerned. Now, I don't know. I'm more heartbroken about the obvious, that the demise of the Pac-12, I think it sucks.
Me too.
I think this year we proved, if nothing else, that we were the strongest conference in the nation by a long shot. We beat the crap out of each other like we always do. Anyway, bottom line is the fact that we have two championship contenders in the same league now, and then the news like 20 minutes ago or something is that DeBoer is going to go to Alabama.
Right.
So it's like, dear Lord.
Right.
I mean, the open transfer portal is open for everything. Watch out. They're going to steal our equipment, guys. You know?
No, that actually happens.
I know.
I mean, the strength coaches, yeah, right? Like, I know. That's a thing.
Yeah, yeah. So we lost the weird dude with the mustache.
No, but Michigan, I mean, I'm watching the game. I didn't know how to root in the championship game because – You rooted for Michigan?
No. I rooted for Washington for the Pac. I was rooting for the Pac-12.
I am sad to see the Pac-12 gone. I don't know. I guess it still exists, but there's only two teams.
Well, the closing thing for me was that I ended up having to watch all the bowl games in a sports bar in Kauai waiting for my airplane to show up at 10 o'clock at night. And so I was in this bar that all of the patrons kept changing throughout the day. So it started out with, you know, people from Alabama, then people from Michigan, then people, you know, went all the way through. And I'll tell you that the surprising thing to me was there was a ton of Washington fans in there during the game. And when they saw my Duck gear, they were cordial. They were very, very complimentary of the Ducks. We all agreed that the two best games of the entire season were our two games that we played with Washington. So I didn't have a hard time rooting for Washington. I was rooting for the Pac-12 and the demise of the Pac-12. It's still sad to me.
It's super sad. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. And we'll see what happens. It'll be exciting because it'll be different.
I mean, new. Even the championship game, let's be honest about it. Those guys were beat up. Johnson wasn't in, you know, he got beaten up from having played in the Pac-12.
Are you talking about Tez Johnson?
No. Johnson, the Washington running back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you were going to say Tez Johnson. No, you mean Tez Bo Nix's adopted brother?
Incredible.
Oh my God. How many times do we have to hear that though?
Like, I don't know. The same story over and over and over again.
They're not from the same mom.
I know.
So,
Jesus loves us all.
Coaching moves. There's a changing of the guard. Nick Saban, Pete Carroll, you mentioned this, Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm wondering if any of those 80-year-olds are going to be running for president now.
Are we going there already?
Yeah, yeah. I want to segue into politics, but before I do, do you want to talk shit about Aaron Rodgers?
What is there to say? The guy's Fruit Loops. I mean, the thing that Jimmy Kimmel said is exactly right. This is a guy who, because he can throw a football well and had a long career, yes, he's a Hall of Famer, blah, 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 believes his own crap. He's lost his mind. He says stuff that is absolutely crazy. And there was two quotes that I loved. First of all, Kimmel said something to that effect, basically, that this is a guy who believes his own, you know, garbage, whatever. But I saw Charles Barkley was interviewed, and he said, you know, if he said about me, I'd punch him in the face. And Gayle King says, you mean metaphorically, right? No, I'd punch him in the face.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's, you know, Aaron Rodgers is an idiot. He's an idiot, and he's been an idiot for quite a while.
I'm a big free speech person, but I'm not a big giving a person a platform person if they're being, you know, if they're being toxic and dangerous.
I'm not a fan with Pat. That whole show. I'm not a fan of that whole vibe.
I mean, I'm a podcaster, so I'm not going to say that, like, I'm about people having conversations and talking. Yeah. And I think that the problem is it's like video games with what Aaron Rodgers was doing, that the wrong hands with what you're making can cause destruction. Do you know what, like, meaning like I'm a believer that like if the wrong kid plays a violent video game, that can do bad things. So the wrong person that listens to a guy like an Aaron Rodgers, it might have led to deaths during COVID.
Well, what he should have is a podcast on QAnon channel. He should be on the dark web.
I think the
stuff he espouses is nuts.
Some of it's out there. But I think I don't want to spend too much time on him. I don't want to spend too much time on Aaron Rodgers, but I wanted to talk about something more comfortable like politics.
Because we already got through the holidays. There was no family issues there.
Oh no, this year was easy. This year was a good year.
Yeah, I didn't have to go anywhere.
Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to talk about the mayor's race in Eugene because it's heating up. I know you don't want to talk about it, but I do want to talk about this. So I had an interview with Karin Knudsen.
Yep.
She is awesome. I was impressed. There is two candidates, Douglas Barr, who I believe, if it's the same person, and I could be wrong, all I could find, there was a Douglas Barr that ran for city council in the Bethel area. So I would imagine the same guy.
Yep.
And he is a driver for Food for Lane County.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's cool because he's an average person. So my goal is I reached out to Sinead. I'm going to try to get her. I hope I'm saying her name right. Sinead Joy Stringer is another candidate that has announced she's running.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see what I can do. I'm going to try to do one-on-ones with each person and maybe even a forum.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see what I can do if I have that in me.
I think, you know, my statement on the whole thing at this point is that as I get older and more disenchanted with politics in general, what I will say is this. Eugene, most of the big stuff that happens in Eugene, that our solutions are coming from the private sector. It's Food for Lane County. It's St. Vinny's.
That's
these
fine.
Kinds of people. And so what I would ask any of these people is what are you running on that you really want to fix? Because some of the things that we end up doing as a city council is just kind of silly stuff.
Said that she wants to be the champion for Eugene. She wants to be an advocate for.
What does that mean?
I don't have any idea.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So it's the same as when we were at national news when we became a no nukes zone. You couldn't build anything for nuclear weapons. You couldn't build components, whatever. That was 20 years ago, whatever. We were in national news, right? What does that mean? What does that do? It doesn't do anything.
I know there's a lot of, when you interview politicians, you expect, and sometimes I feel like I cut them off because I know that they're going to give me answers that are non-answers, but at the same time, you get a sense of what people are about, and that's why I like to do it, and I get to meet them and stuff, you know, and.
But you also have a chance to ask them hard questions, like, and what are you going to do?
Well, I mean, that's true, but like, what can a mayor do in some ways? You know what I'm saying? Like,
there's been some mayors that have done quite a bit.
Yeah, initiatives and different things that you can push.
I mean,
clear
back to like Jim Torrey and some of those guys, they weren't well loved necessarily. Boy, I'm getting really casual. I didn't realize I keep forgetting we're on the screen. I'm going to lean back and fall asleep. Anyway, no, I mean, there was some of these guys that weren't universally well liked, but they did a lot for actually getting things done in town.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of issues that we have to deal with. So anyway, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I want to spotlight them. So I think that, you know, I want people to do their due diligence. I live in Springfield, so obviously I can't even vote in this, but I think it really, what the mayor can do is set the tone, you know, and be a good leader. And I think that Eugene needs it right now. And so we need someone forward thinking. We need someone that, you know, can answer those tough questions, you know, and I was impressed with Karin, and I challenge anyone, you know, please listen to the interview I did with her. It's a great conversation. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I'm going to try to reach out to the other two, and we'll see within the next couple months if I can get them on. Cause basically if Karin can get over 51%, it's no secret she's the heavy favorite. If she gets over 51% in May, then it's over. So
what do you see as being the issues? What are the things that,
I want to say one thing about Sinead Joy Stringer had stepped up and put her name in the hat. She's been here for 3 years, which I was publicly critical of. I just responded like, I don't think that's long enough on a Lane County Tribune social media post. Right.
Okay.
And I got called out by a good friend of mine. He hit me up in my DMs. He's like, man, you guys are being kind of racist And I was like, whoa. And he was like, well, I mean, you guys haven't even heard from her and don't know what she's about. And you're just like, we don't like outsiders. And I'm like, well, 3 years in Eugene in an executive position, I'm not okay with that concept. I don't care who it is or how amazing they are. If you haven't lived here for longer than 3 years,
I'm confused.
It could be conceived any way that you feel. I mean, okay. We'll just put it that way. I didn't agree with him. I'm just saying he's a good friend and I take his opinion to heart, you know, but at the same time, that doesn't mean we're still good friends. Nothing changed. He just said, and he wasn't singling me out. There was a lot of people commenting,
right.
You know, and he's like, some of these people,
is online.
It was like cause he read a comment and then he hit me up in private message.
I see,
you know, and was like, whoa, dude, some of these comments are pretty racist about, like, you know, being, cause I was rejecting the idea of, I'm like, 3 years in Eugene to run for mayor. That seems kind of, an executive position, when you've only been here for a short time, it's like, I don't know, man.
Well, somebody who's got a really directed view on how they think it should be. I mean, it's interesting, though. I mean,
it could be good, though. That's the thing.
I mean, I would have to agree with you. There's something about a complacency that happens when you're in Eugene, Springfield, for a while. And I've always kind of joked about it, and I get yelled at for it all the time, but Eugene is kind of a lifeboat for ne'er-do-wells. There's people that do well here business-wise that wouldn't do well anywhere else. But because of the vibe, the chill way that we are, we kind of support one another, those kinds of things. It's an interesting thing where you can become complacent and just say, well, that's the way it always has been. This is the way it is. We have the Saturday market and the country fair and we have XYZ. Bottom line is, if somebody comes in and they love it here, but they see two or three things that should be changed, I kind of applaud somebody who's
should be receptive to that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I kind of applaud that. At least listen to them.
I hate to say it, but like us, I mean, I don't have as much gray hair as you, but I'm catching up. I'm catching up.
Nobody has as much gray hair.
But I will say that, like, you know, some of the Eugene that we still visualize does not exist. And it's already different. And so there's already been a change that we are the ones that are kind of stuck in that.
Some of it never existed. I mean, that's the thing that's interesting.
It did in my mushroom-eaten head.
Back in the 90s, there was always this patina of the hippie-happy whatever. Yeah. And then right below it was all of the lumber barons who owned everything. And so it's an interesting thing.
Well, Eugene's that was the fight. That was the fight.
Yeah,
was the lumber is. Versus...
Yeah,
versus what the newspapers call them eco-terrorists, and Tim Lewis calls them forest defenders.
Right.
You know?
Right. But on a less stringent side, there was even opening up downtown or don't open up downtown, keep Willamette open. You know, there was a lot of stuff going on in the 90s and early 2000s that were culturally a big deal, and now we're kind of still reeling from
and
that.
And what is our identity at this point? There's a question. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I want to say is, if you're interested in watching a movie about or documentary about what I'm talking about the late 90s, like the lumber industry versus you know, the forest defenders, mm-hmm. look up If a Tree Falls. You've seen it, but mm-hmm. If a Tree Falls, it's mm-hmm. an excellent documentary about the history of Eugene and the Earth Liberation Front.
Right.
And man, that's the history of Eugene. Now, there's other stuff. I said at one point that I felt like Eugene was becoming a suburb to Autzen. And I know that's metaphoric. That's metaphoric, you know. Yeah. But what I mean is that it's becoming just a Nike. It's just a means to an end. It's like, my job is just to serve the...
Yeah,
you're as a barber, I already do. That's what I do. I
cut the
hair
of the
athletes
and
all the different, all the different people that are a part of it. And I'm okay with that. People say that you can frame anything to sound any way.
You're right in the middle of that. The thing that I've seen most obviously, I mean, again, I've been around longer. I'm older. I actually paid attention, you know, when you were a punk, you know.
Yeah.
In the
90s. I
didn't
know how to read until like 2007.
In the 90s, there was this big battle between opening up downtown and you know, keeping downtown alive and all this other stuff. It's now reversed to where all the lifeblood is actually happening from Fifth Street all the way out. So all of the development, all the new hotels, all the new everything started at Fifth Street, and now it's moving out toward down the river and all this riverfront development and all the things that they're trying to do there. All excellent stuff, all great stuff. Unfortunately, you go up four blocks to Broadway, and it's still pretty rugged. I mean,
well, are they abandoning downtown? Is what you're saying? Because of,
in and out.
And so here's the reality: is the reason downtown ever exists is because it's the transit zone. It's because it's where the bus station's going to be, and it's, you know, and so
yeah, it used to be way more than that.
It did, yeah. I remember the conversations, and there was always a debate on if you opened up downtown, if it made it more safe, mm-hmm. or if you kept it closed, if it made it more safe.
Right.
You know, because I remember the Moosehead way back in the day, and I literally turned the corner. This is no joke. I turned the corner and I saw a dude just get shot in the chest right in front of the Moosehead, mm-hmm. and it was just. I mean, those days were rough. Like people talk about. Well, of course, people
now
talk about it.
They just stab each other.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is people? No, they still shoot each other. You know, but they just do it in a store, and there's a lot more of them.
Yeah,
they shoot. You know, yeah. That's the difference. It was not. There was never mass shootings like that, like today.
Well, here in Eugene, the stabbing thing is the thing you have to be careful of. Is the transients. All carry big knives.
Apparently. I mean, I hate to say it, but if I was weird. Them, I would too. I want to give a shout out to Thomas Hyode. He's listening to the show and he keeps leaving comments. He said that he thought the documentary I was talking about was going to be the storyteller, a Eugene Walkabout starring Plato. I haven't seen that yet, so no, that's not it. I'm going to have Plato on. I definitely have already been thinking about this and have him talk about that documentary. It's a new one about kind of, you know, downtown Eugene and or just the history of Eugene. But shout out to Thomas, one of my dear friends. Mm-hmm. We got to move on. We're going to talk about national politics. The Iowa caucuses are Tuesday. Who you got in Iowa? Let's start with the Republicans. Let's talk about the Republicans first, because there's really...
Yeah, you're going to hate my answer.
I know your answer, but go ahead.
Here's my answer on this. Okay, so let's say you go to the Super Bowl, right?
Uh-huh.
And you spend all your time watching two bums beat each other up in the stands. The real game isn't going to happen until July at this point, at least. These caucuses and all these primaries don't mean anything until this mess with Trump gets squared away.
I agree as far as the victor, but I think that there's a national conversation, and there's such a need right now for anybody to cling to something that has an identity that they can be proud of. In this, because there's, I mean, I see it a lot of people.
I would say that the problem is everybody clings to their identity too far.
Yeah.
So the division is so tribal at this point that we have lost the ability to work with one another to compromise, to find solutions. And all we're doing is winning at this point.
Yeah.
And so this is going to be a really weird year, because people are going to be ducking and weaving until this Trump thing gets solved. And it's one way or the other. Either he's going to be allowed to run or not allowed to run. The Supreme Court thing that they're going to argue February 8th, I think, that's going to be big stuff.
That's deciding if the states can throw him out?
Yeah. And if that could set up all kinds of things. And Oregon just today just said, yeah, he can go ahead and run. I was kind of surprised, to be honest with you. And so I'm at a place now where... there's so many things that he's in the courtroom for. I mean, there's tons and tons and tons of things that anybody with common sense should have said months ago, forget it, I'm out. But the two parties
are pushing people that nobody... Well, no, that's not true. Because the Republican Party, they are Donald Trump. That's all that it is. And we'll talk a little bit later about the future of the parties. But as of right now, I mean, the party is Donald Trump. And I know that that's still short-lived, but that's because the people that are in the Republican Party tend to be old anyway. So I'd like to see the average age. I mean, honestly, average age. There's a lot of young Republicans too.
I think you're painting with a pretty broad swath.
Of course I am.
I mean, the thing of calling anybody that's conservative a Republican, or a Republican that's a real Republican, old-school Republican... one of the new Republicans is, we're back into the tribes. What's the difference?
Because a lot of what votes for Trump or who votes for Trump, what in the hills have eyes? That's not what I meant. No, a lot of the people that vote for Trump do not vote otherwise is what I've been reading about. Like there's a lot of people that will not vote period. If they don't support a guy like Trump,
the reason that you vote for Trump now is a whole different reason than voting for Trump in 2020.
Sure.
It's a whole different reason. And so now if you're actually a hardcore Trump supporter, you're really painting yourself with a different brush. You're now into a tribe of self-serving idiots, quite frankly. And to say it bluntly. Yeah. Well, I can be even more blunt if you want me to.
No, I'm kidding.
That's the cranky old guy part of me.
Right.
But again, the problem I have is all of this comes down to this party thing. Both parties are absolutely criminal, as far as I'm concerned, with actually doing anything except saying we're winning. and prosecuting the other one and saying, you're wrong, no, we're right. No, we're right. Yay, we're right. Now what?
Yeah.
You know, it's there's no solutions. Nothing's getting done.
So obviously Trump is going to win the nomination. Are you think that's not a question?
No, I think he'll win the nomination. It's whether or not.
I mean, of the Republican, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's whether, I think that's a given. There's nobody, I mean, the whole thing of DeSantis and anybody else is a joke.
I mean, my notes, because I watched the debate last night, some of it.
Yeah.
And I got to say this, like DeSantis is a stooge. Everyone knows, if you've ever listened to my podcast, I'm a progressive. I was a Bernie Sanders supporter. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not going to like a lot of what DeSantis is about. But last night I was kind of interested in how he was campaigning because it seemed like he had turned on to a general election campaign. And I know how this works. That meant that he was losing and he knew it because he was reaching out to make sure that he just put as much mud as he could on those people that defeated him, right? And that's what will happen. And whereas Nikki Haley was still kind of playing like she had to
play. Yeah, but again, go back to my metaphor. This is watching two drunks beat each other up at the Super Bowl. It does not matter. They don't have enough influence on the actual election at this point. The thing that there's two things that can happen.
I know that. I know that. It was just interesting to see his change.
Oh, yeah. No,
it was just interesting to see his change in strategy.
It's fascinating.
You know, that's why I watch it.
It's fascinating.
There is, I know you hate these debates, but I want to mention this because I think these conversations, it shows that there is more out there than just the two. That people say two parties, and yes, we can have that conversation, but the conversations for people like me that are interested in this kind of stuff, there is a debate tonight. On News Nation, I believe, and it's Marianne Williamson, Dean Phillips, and Cenk Uygur. Did you know Cenk Uygur is running for president?
I don't know who any
you
of those people are.
You don't know who Cenk Uygur is from the Young Turks?
I swear to God, I don't know who any of those people are. That's how little I pay attention right now because it doesn't matter.
This is really
me.
Good quality content right now.
I know.
No, I'm kidding. No, but Cenk Uygur is the host of the Young Turks, which is like a YouTube show. Basically, they're bigger than that. But he's a progressive, basically TV show or like a YouTube show host.
Okay.
But he's running for president, and he's not a naturalized citizen, or what is it? I don't know. So
he wasn't born in the United States.
No. So I don't know how that's possible. But so yeah. Anyways,
probably can't run.
And there's other candidates that everybody always complains and says there's no other option, I'm saying. But yeah, I guess it just doesn't matter. That's conversations moot.
So maybe you're not noticing. So I still have the hat from 2020 that says "By Dawn" on it. That was my whole reason for "By Dawn."
Yeah, so what do you
mean? "By Dawn." Where I am right now is anything that we can do to keep the conversation very focused on the fact that Donald Trump is an abomination.
I 100% agree.
Everything else in the world. But it's not even just Donald Trump. I mean, I actually jotted something that I think I'm reluctant to read, and yet I'm going to read it because there's going to be some people that basically are going to lose their, that I may not ever get talked to by half of the people at the country club. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I said the real reason for being a Trump supporter has nothing to do with Trump or his policies because he has no policies. What it's about is tribalism and getting a pass on letting your worst passions and instincts out of the closet, which is where they're kept in normal civilized, you know, society. If you're a misogynist, you get a pass. If you're a racist, you get a pass. If you're ignorant on education, you get a pass. If you're a wokeophobe, you get a pass.
Wokeophobe,
yeah. If you're a homophobe, an anti-science, anti-ecology person, you get a pass because this is who this guy is, and then some. In short, you get a pass on being an ignorant, self-centered, selfish prick. And bottom line is that is what the movement is about. And you could look at the folks that are the 1776ers. You could look at any of the folks that are selfish on the traction of, I know Donald Trump's a bum, but that's the thing. But that's the key. I'm at a place now where I do not believe Biden is a great solution to anything except an alternative to Donald Trump.
Right.
And at this point, I hope to heck that he stays alive long enough to do it.
But I just don't know why the Democrats are so God, I mean, you know, you can only tell your base so many times that what you're going to do and not do it. And it's been three elections where they're this is what you're going to, this, like with Biden, they're like, this is going to be a one term. And then, you know,
but you can go back to 1996, which is the pivotal year in American politics when the rails went wacky with the train, as it were. That's when we stopped actually doing anything. Congress hasn't done anything of substance since 1996.
Well, I mean, do you know legislation that happened in, what was it, 94, 95? It was basically journalism was changed.
96. Deregulation of ownership was huge because that allowed all of the cable channels to happen at that point. Banking deregulation happened at that point.
This would be really interesting because I was, like you said, you were paying attention. I was in 96, I would have been 14 years old. So
there you go.
I don't have a great understanding of how that shift happened and explain it. Like, you have a lot of history and background in broadcasting and that kind of stuff. But how did it make, because I understand that you say the creation of cable news, but what do you mean? So like before that, you had to show everyone equal time, right?
If you talked about politics. You're talking about two different things. Okay. So the Fairness Act actually got overturned during Reagan's administration, but nothing really mattered at that point. The Fairness Act wasn't equal time. If you put somebody on, the opposition gets equal time, period. End of story. Yeah. Okay. So in 90.
Which does not still exist.
No, it hasn't existed in forever. So the bottom line is that, like I said, since Reagan, but the big shift happened for a bad, very bad reason. And that was that Bill Clinton had his panties in trouble, was being impeached, and lost all the confidence of his supporters.
The issue was panties that actually weren't his wife's.
Exactly. Exactly. So the point being that at that point, he became really a lame duck president because he was battling. That's when the Gingrich clan came in. That's when the Iraq Liberation Act was passed.
So they were elected in a midterm, is what you're saying.
Exactly. So you got Newt Gingrich, you got the whole crew that came in and became, a lot of these guys became the folks for Bush's administration. But the big things that happened to what we're talking about is that they deregulated the ownership policy. Before 96, you could only own like one newspaper and one radio station in town, right? Then, if you remember, maybe you don't, after it was deregulated, Clear Channel, Cumulus, all the guys owned everything. It bought up everything, these giant conglomerations. Then Fox News, then CNN, all these other things. Now, there's a huge difference even there. Those people run under a charter that says we are a commentary broadcasters.
It's entertainment. Yeah.
Right. So we are not regulated by the FCC.
Like, right. I'm just entertaining. I'm not even a journalist.
So the FCC regulates all the other so-called mainstream media. So it's huge. They can be sued. They're liable. All those different kinds of things that can happen. All of these other cable channels became 24/7 with their commentary. There's no news involved with any of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, love Rachel Maddow or whoever, whatever. It's not news. Mm-mm. It's commentary. So that let the genie out of the bottle, and then Murdoch and all these other guys started buying up media in multiple forms, and now you have TV stations. Like, look, in our own town, we have two TV stations that used to be privately owned that are owned by the same group, in essence, that share the same news
Sinclair.
Team. Yeah.
And it's
you don't want to be sued.
I don't. So
I'm joking. No, but it's a joke because the fact is there used to be there used to be whole production teams and there'd be reporters and there'd be all this other stuff. Now it's robo screen.
Yeah. And this is ridiculous. Karin was talking about this when she came on about how you're losing. There was whole teams that were paying attention to city council and the mayor and what you were doing every day. Now I just wanted to give a shout out to the people that are still doing the work because it's not your fault that there's less people showing up to work. No, it's because they've eliminated the jobs. You know,
they've amalgamated the jobs.
So the news may not be as powerful and as strong of a voice, but I do want to make sure that the people that are doing the job right now that are understaffed and overworked
and underpaid
that those people still get a shout out for doing what they're supposed to do.
They're doing the best they can.
I'm a big believer in journalists as a humongous part of why America's amazing. Because you can't, no, seriously, because you expose corruption and all that stuff. And free, I'm a big free speech person. A big part of the First Amendment is about being like journalism. It's about journalism.
So let me give you a difference. So the Register Guard used to have tons of reporters and tons of people on the news desk and the editorial. That's all gone now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all virtually gone. There's like three people that work in a giant whatever leftover building and everything goes down to Texas or Seattle. But in the TV stations, it was not that much different. There were reporters, there was, you know, staffs, there was production people. At the national level, where my daughter works for CBS News in New York, they have 70 people that work on that show. Everything's vetted. Everything has to be vetted because they can be sued. Mm-hmm. And they, if something's wrong, they have to print a retraction. Not anymore. I mean, in cable news, it doesn't matter. How does Alex Jones exist? Because it doesn't matter anymore. All the guardrails came off in 96.
Why he existed and why he was able, he's independent. Well, but no, he's been on radio stations.
They're all independent. They're all independent. That's the problem. So you have everything. I really honestly, I know that, again, people don't want to hear this, but I honestly think that a Rachel Maddow and a Sean Hannity are not that different because they're basically extremists. They know how to get an audience. They know what to say and how to sell it. The problem is when we get into a news cycle like this every election year, I mean, the election starts earlier and earlier every time. Mm-hmm. We now have so much misinformation out there. And now with AI, holy moly, this is not a good thing.
Yeah, a good thing, a big thing with AI, good segue, because a big thing with AI is, I don't know if you heard the news that broke, I think today, about Roger Stone.
Yeah.
Roger Stone, there's a report saying that he was caught on audio discussing assassinating Eric Swalwell and or Jerry Nadler. So it doesn't matter. Like, I'll be happy if it's just one of them, you know, is what he said. But he literally was talking on audio, or at least that's the reports. Now his defense, of course, and Roger Stone's a liar, but his defense is that it's AI. Have you listened to the clip?
I haven't listened to the clip. Here's what I'll say about AI and the whole problem. It's not, first of all,
Roger Stone was saying on audio that he was going to assassinate or he was going to hire assassin. I want to make sure that people hear that.
You do understand that Roger Stone is insane.
Yeah.
You do realize that. So again, what happens with the news cycle in a 24-hour cycle is this becomes a story. It's got one source. They don't have the actual tape. They don't whatever. That's what makes it feel like AI, but who knows?
Yeah.
The reason I'm afraid of AI is because it really should be something we should be afraid of. And the reason I figured it out was that my son-in-law works in high tech. He was telling me about some stuff, and I was like, oh, come on, Chad. It's a bunch of silly stuff. And he goes, oh, yeah, you think it's silly? Well, just keep talking for a second. So I start talking. And he goes, okay, hold on just a second. And like 15 seconds later, he plays back me saying, I think Donald Trump is the savior of all mankind. And
I mean,
it's like,
you just said that.
In my voice. Exactly. But no, the point is that you can synthesize anything at this point. You absolutely, positively cannot discern quickly enough to figure out if it's real or not. And in a 24-hour news cycle, these guys jump on it immediately, as we just saw. So again, what is Roger Stone? Where does he really matter in the big matrix of the world? I don't know. He's a bum. He's just like all the other bums.
Yeah.
He's not going to elect anybody. He's not.
He wanted to take credit for getting Trump elected and stuff, and I don't know, but yeah, he's a clown. But
Bannon,
either way, it's pretty scary. And I mean, Eric Swalwell is pretty aggressive, and I love. I mean, he's working hard. That's what you're supposed to do. That's his job. That's what he was hired to do by the American people
California. The most scary part about an assassination is that there's a fringe element that starts with the QAnon wax that in fact does think that it's their, you know.
Yeah. Do you know how unsafe it is right now too for Eric Swalwell that they're like, oh, Roger Stone wanted that. There's all kinds of whack jobs that are now saying, you know, maybe we should finish the job, you know?
Yeah. That's the dangerous part. But
the AI thing, what you're saying is what I've said from the gate, I said this about deepfakes before I don't know. We always knew AI was coming, but we don't necessarily know exactly how it's going to look. But when the deepfake started hitting, and that was before this advancement with ChatGPT, my thought process was always not a concern on what could be made to have somebody say. It was about the fact that something real could be shown to you, and then people would be like, "Hey, you know," and it's like, "No, dude, this is clearly happening in real life," and people would be like, "Nah, I don't know." You know, well, and that's, we're way past that because at this point, people only want to be, to the truth is what you want it to be, what you choose it to be, or what you don't want it to be. It's one or the other. You just kind of decide. And
well, wow, I'm glad I'm 70. I have to hang around for the rest of this. Right.
No, I mean, it just sucks because it's true. Like where there's loved ones that you can have look in the eyes and you just do not have the same reality in any way, because you can't accept facts because people are like, nope, I don't, there's no reliable source, you know, anymore, basically.
Well, here's, this sounds this sounds like an old guy. Here's what you have is common sense. And unfortunately, the problem is if you keep handing over worry factor and your fact finding to something that's completely unreliable, that's on you.
Yeah.
So there's a common sense factor. So the Roger Stone thing, it may have happened. I don't know when it happened. I don't know when it was said, whatever. Now it's news. So now they're giving it more life. It's like, I have this vibe that if you don't talk about horrible people, they cease to exist.
Yeah.
So it's why I don't really talk about Trump that much. It's why I think we should stop talking about all kinds of people.
Well, I mean, I remember I watched that Joe Rogan, Bill Maher conversation.
Two people I don't listen to anymore.
Sure, but regardless, you know, and Joe Rogan made a comment where he said, why is everybody still talking about Trump? And it's like, well, maybe because he's running for president. I mean, when you're, and I know that doesn't matter, but it does matter to people. And
no, it absolutely matters. No, it absolutely doesn't matter.
We can't act like it's normal.
Normal is that he fomented the single worst day in modern history, quite frankly,
This is my point.
For democracy, and people are giving him a pass.
January 6th, unbelievable. It doesn't even take artificial intelligence.
No.
January 6th is a prime example. Something that you can turn the news on, and I don't know how anyone possibly could see that and be like, that's fine.
No, it's,
you know, that's okay.
It speaks to the tribalism. Let's go back to how a Taylor Greene or any of these people even exist. It's tribalism.
Yeah.
And so we have to get out of that. So here's the deal. This is my new church. It's the Church of Peter Gabriel. This is a guy that absolutely positively is
Peter Gabriel is not God.
He is.
No, we just celebrated Christmas. How long is that going to last? Like a week?
Exactly. But he's got a good song for
anyway,
it.
Anyway, go ahead.
I'm joking. Anyway, me no, too. The point is that's where I am right now. Is I am more like, if we can't figure out how to be one, if we can't get together, if we can't figure out our commonality, we are doomed, and we spend all of our time, whether it's sports, politics, whatever, you know, who likes Taylor Swift, who doesn't, who likes Kelsey. I mean, it's like, come on, let's talk about stuff that matters. Meanwhile, we have, you know, a homeless crisis in Eugene that's real.
In the West Coast and maybe even more.
Well, let's go with what we can affect.
Sure.
And so it's why I get involved with Rotary. It's why we do food boxes. It's why we build homeless shelters. It's why we do these things. It's spitting in the ocean. I'm aware of that, but at least it's spitting.
Well, but it's about also, I feel like some of the best medicine is service to others. And so,
yes, absolutely.
So, I mean, I try to teach my kids that, you know, if you, a lot of times depression can come from just you knowing you could be doing more, you know? And I don't want to diagnose anybody. That's not what I'm saying. There's obviously, it's just all about us feeling better about ourselves first.
Let's go back to the candidate who's only been here for 3 years or whatever. There's probably a sense of helplessness or a sense of I could change or I could fix this that has motivated this person to run.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm in the same boat of like, look, there's things I can't touch. There's things I have no control over, but I do have control over how I affect the things I can affect.
Yeah.
And so it's there's a certain calm and there's a certain sense of pleasure and contentment and, you know, purpose that happen when you actually go out and you deliver 90 food boxes to people who need food. You know, it's, gee, that wasn't hard. Yeah. It took a day and I felt better. You know, it's, you know, when we first started doing this, I had the nonprofit in Uganda that has now disappeared because of COVID.
Really?
Oh yeah. Wiped the village out, wiped the school out. Everything's gone. Don't get me going on that. It's one of the saddest things. Yeah, it is heartbreaking. Whatever the case is, I was doing it because it made me feel better, and I also knew I was doing something that mattered.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. It's now I look for that same kind of purpose here in Eugene. So when I watch these clowns, and I call them clowns, on most of the talk shows debating about the latest thing Trump said, my whole thing is stop giving him oxygen. I don't care what he says.
We'll end it on a positive then. What is a way that you, if somebody just moved to Eugene and they're like, I want to give back, I want to help out. What is a way that you would say, here's a way for you to get involved?
There's two organizations that our Rotary group is really involved with. One is St. Vinny's, who is going through a change right now because their leadership is changing. They are phenomenal. They do so many things for this community that people aren't even aware of. The other one is the Mission. The Mission has completely changed its spots, and it really is now a training spot. Our Rotary group meets there because they have a food service training program there where they're helping people become chefs and service people and all the other things. Bottom line is, the food comes and goes in these locations all the time. Food for Lane County is another one. It's just amazing what they convert. I mean, here's a good example of how weird this community is in touch. So one of the weird things we do for fundraising for the club is to volunteer at the food court or whatever they call it for the basketball games at Mac. For the basketball games, the girls' basketball and men's basketball. Anyway, they have these pizzas that are ridiculously expensive pizzas, but they're good. They're whatever. They're Papa's pizzas, whatever. There's always 20, 30, 40, 50 left over at the end of the night. And it's like, well, what do you throw those away? Oh, no, we give those to Food for Lane County. They flash freeze these pizzas and then send them back out again.
I thought that they grounded those up and until they made the mats for wrestling.
You'd think. Yeah. You'd think. But no, I mean, it's one of these things that Food for Lane County is so dialed in on where they source the food. We, for every food box we put out, every food box with our little group of the 90 that we do is tons of food, and most of it's donated. We only spend about $12 cash per box, and that's for things like laundry detergent and those kinds of things. Most of the food's donated. We bring it in, we cycle it up, we box it and repurpose it. But those two organizations, if you're coming to Eugene, that's a great starting spot. The other one is Cahoots. If you can get involved with that, if you're medical.
Yeah.
But there's so many things that are really at the basis of making change in the things that people see the most. And that's homelessness, you know.
And I mean, I just like talking about these things, you know, and it's, I don't know how I'm a glutton for punishment when it comes to presidential politics. And I'm just, you know, that I like watching that stuff, and I'm a cable junkie or cable news junkie. And I know it's gross, all that stuff, stuff.
It's basically a sport at this point. It's no different than watching pro football or basketball or whatever, because it has about as much impact on anything. The thing I will say is that I am very curious to see how all of the Supreme Court stuff comes out and all the court cases come out. They're not going to go in his favor. I don't know if there'll be anything that will trigger enough momentum for people to say, okay, that's enough. I doubt it, but it's possible.
Yeah, you know? I've wondered from the beginning about with Trump that each day that passes and there's more stuff that comes out that it's just like, he's facing this, he's facing that. That's enough for people to be like, dude, I don't want to have to deal with this. Like, I don't want to have to hear about it anymore. One of the reasons that I didn't vote for Hillary and not that it matters, but one of the reasons that I was like, I just had a hard, I couldn't do it was because I just was tired of hearing about her from other people, you know, from people that hated her, honestly, which sucks. And I
didn't vote for her either, but just so you know, because it was going to be, it was in Oregon was going to elect her, basically. Yeah. So to me, I could go ahead and vote for Bernie or whoever.
Just remember, I mean, vote for whoever you want, obviously. But the protest votes, though, are usually designed for the primary. You gotta vote for the top two in the general, because if not, it's pretty much a waste, you know?
Well, at this point, again, I don't mean to sound alarming, but I do feel that basically our democracy is at risk here.
Yeah,
big time.
Absolutely.
And I think he's being blatant about it. And
no,
I
he literally just said, he literally said, maybe I will be a dictator
for one day, whatever.
No, but he's joking with it now. He's like, actually sounds kind of nice.
Well, what he's basically saying is he's just going to pardon himself and everybody else involved.
Which would be, that would be a travesty of justice.
Of course it would
Of
course it would be.
The national debate is not about what's actually true. Again, it's the tribalism of accountability for, you know, your political rival. Unfortunately, like, what, you can't hold your political. He's literally, his defense is literally that you can do anything as president. It's disgusting. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Oh. Good.
So anyway, we're at that time. I want to do one more thing. I want to have you fill in the blank. This is going to be the last question, but
sure.
Fill in the blank. And I said I didn't want to talk about it, but I'm going to give you.
Here you
I'm
go.
Going to, this is one word or phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Fill in the blank. In 2024, Donald Trump should be the most concerned with blank.
Donald Trump.
With himself.
Huh? Yeah, because I think he is unhinged. I think that what happened in court yesterday, where he went on this rant that was just typical. I mean, I'll tell you what, if you want to see the real Donald Trump, watch the guy, I can't remember the guy from Saturday Night Live that does the Trump impersonation. He is so spot on.
The new guy?
Yeah, the way it just rambles. It goes from here to here. It's completely disconnected.
His name is too long, so I don't know what
whatever the case is. The bottom line is that Trump will, I have complete confidence that he will do or say something that will be so appalling to anybody, even the most hardcore whack job up in the hills, waiting for to come out of the hills for the zombie apocalypse. Even those guys, he'll be like, I don't know.
Trump could eat a baby and those people would still support him.
I don't know. Yeah. I really think that he's his worst enemy. He can't stop. He is an absolute narcissist to the nth degree. And he's, sociopathic, and he can't stop.
He could eat a baby on Fifth Street and not,
he would say it's a Democrat baby. And
it was a liberal baby.
That's right.
It was a vermont. Anyways, Patrick Miller, thank you so much. This has been Spent the Rant Podcast presents Two Pats in a Pod, and we're going to get out of here.
Peace.
This is Patty Rose featuring Imperfect Some Things.
Some things they stay the same, so when are you gonna change? Some things they stay the same, so when are you gonna change? Some things they stay the same, so when are you gonna change? Some things they stay the same, so when are you gonna change?
Some things will change when they ingrain. Keep hope inside our brain, or we're only inviting pain. Focus on our aim, some things won't change without some pain. We're showing what we gain, some hope from all this rain. My world and now our brain is hoping for some sort of way to coordinate our fate, as for some sort of change. But we sort of found our place, some things don't change, they go away. To corner out of space, we go to now attain what we wanted, we became. What we wanted, we became. But we gotta be the change that we wanna see attain.
Things they stay the same, so when are you gonna change? Some things they stay the same, so when are you gonna change? Some things they stay the same, so when are you gonna change? Some things they stay the same, so when are you gonna change?
I'ma dance like Ghosty, get the most out of roasting all you jokes that are boasting, toasting to a better pedigree. Supremacy, you can choke on a boo. Hypocrisy is your strong suit. I'ma dance like Toasty, get the most out of roasting all you jokes that are boasting, toasting to a better pedigree. But with white supremacy, you can choke on a boo. Hypocrisy is your strong suit. We are heading nowhere.
disgust or shame. It's knowing we are to blame. So create a persona set to attack and blame the world for some things you lack. But do as I do and say la vie, or just enjoy the short journey.